Hey, Cornercades. How are you doing? No, I mean, how are you really doing? Or how are you being right now? Because you're a human being, not a human doing. So how are you being? How are you feeling? This is a lot. It is a traumatic experience that is occurring. Even though it seems like it's quelled down, it's still the effects of what we have seen and what we're maybe afraid of might come on what's already been a very traumatic pandemic, a traumatic past 4 years of tyranny and a dictatorship under Donald J. Trump and his enablers. And I say his full name because I just watched all of the Harry Potter movies during the winter break, and I'm not afraid to say his name. So he should be afraid of us, we the people. And he is. Because only fearful people act in the way that him and his brainwashed followers act. So you might not even honestly know how you are feeling or being in this actual moment, because it is so lot. It's a lot. You know, because if you weren't actually there on Wednesday at the Capitol for what was supposed to be just a routine certifying of the election results, really boring shit. But we already knew going into this, this was going to be shenanigans by some Republicans and their many enablers to essentially play coup d'etat to disenfranchise the will of the people with the election results. And then playtime became reality as we watched in horror insurgent, domestic terrorists, white supremacists, and their friends go full steam ahead with a coup. So it might be hard to really process how you're feeling because you're like, well, I wasn't physically there, but we watched in horror. And this was a coup. To watch a coup from your own country, that's, I don't have the words to process it because I'm still processing it. And like I said, this was a coup, because coups don't actually have to be successful in order to be deemed that. And words do matter. We need to make sure that we're calling things what they actually are. These were terrorists. These were insurgents. And it showed how fragile our democracy is. And so we have to use truth as the disinfectant to the bullshit that it is. That's how we got here, by not calling truth truth, allowing reality to get distorted and allowing people to get to such a manic state of disreality. And then in some ways, this was successful. It was a success. It was a successful coup because so far there's been little consequences for what has happened. Many of these folks have walked away after attacking our nation's capital and went back to their Holiday Inn from wherever they came from, or nearby Applebee's, or Apples and Bees, as Meryl Streep's character from The Prom would call it, swapping their war stories and their traitorous comrades who sat at home, who couldn't get there, wishing they had been there. And all we could do was watch in horror. It felt like 9/11 all over again, which was a moment meant to induce fear and take a blow to our society. This was a terrorist attack, and it is a lot, and it's hard to process because it is so convoluted with so many different things and feelings, and we're expected just to kind of, you know, keep sauntering on, keep going on, but this was a blow. And you are experiencing a lot for one lifetime, one moment, one span of a few years. I mean, I think about, you know, at least it was, you know, thinking about, oh, you know, civil rights, they had a lot going on. But, you know, at least they didn't also have a pandemic and a dictator and global warming. I mean, yes, we got Netflix, but, you know, it's we got a lot of ands happening. So I want to let you know and remind you that you are processing and experiencing and dealing with a lot, and you're also strong and capable. And it's also okay to not be okay. All of your feelings are valid, all of them. Permission granted. So I wasn't planning on doing an episode this week. We were actually going to take a break for 2 weeks, but this happened and I had to check in and I needed to know, how are you doing? I know that I am a flurry Shocked, but not surprised. Saddened, heartbroken, angry, terrified, and yet slightly optimistic, yet also armed with the realities of the work that lies ahead. You know, seeing those images, you know, one of the things that really broke me, it was the guns on the Senate floor, the images of Secret Service barricading the door with guns, with a look of fear, but knowing what they needed to do. And I realize how much I value these very imperfect institutions of this very imperfect union. You know, we have a democracy to talk out our differences so we aren't killing each other for power. That's the whole point. You know, my cousin is former Secret Service for Mike Pence. That's also what I thought about. Glad he is over at the Pentagon now. And then, you know, seeing all of those mostly white bodies calling a spade when we already know that if those were black people, they wouldn't even never have gotten to the door, nary a fucking step. Not that we would even behave that way, because that's the cacophony of the entire experience. It was such a gross representation and display of white privilege and white supremacy, what they can do and get away with. And we have seen black people harmed, killed for so much less. 7 months ago, I saw my black brothers and sisters and allies peacefully expressing their First Amendment rights against actual injustice. Losing elections fairly isn't injustice. And see, this is what happens. This is what happens when you placate bad babies. They get used to getting their way. So they're not used to it. They're not used to being told, no, actually, this time this is not how it's going to go. They got their way when the election was stolen in 2000, 2016, just for decades. Because we continue to agree to the social contract and the laws that we have all agreed to. And then, you know, we did the work. It was bullshit in 2000. It was bullshit in 2016. Lots of shenanigans, especially in 2000. That was a stolen election. But you know, it went to work. In 2018, we won. In 2020, against insurmountable odds. Because for us to win, we have to work twice as hard to get half as much. You know, if you're a Democrat, welcome to being a minority, even though we're the majority. Like, what the fuck? But you get the experience of it. Have to work twice as hard to get half as much. We have to work that much harder because the rules are stacked so much against us. With the voter disenfranchisement, all kinds of things. A Confederate flag, the flag of treacherous losers, made it to the Capitol for the first time in history. The flag that oppressed and enslaved and fought for the enslavement of my ancestors, four generations removed. And I don't want violence against anyone. You know, I didn't want, you know, violence against, you know, these protesters necessarily, but we now do get to see, but you just see how back in June, it was so easily dispersed at the ready. And so we now know that police can exercise restraint. They have shown us that they can and they do know how to. So it was never excusable then. And we have proof that the way that they treat us the next time we're out in the streets having to fight for justice, because you know we will have to, that we better be shown that same treatment. Of just being gently escorted out. 13 people were arrested. That was it. There were more after curfew, but just 13. Meanwhile, over 400 peaceful protesters back in June in D.C. Only 13 violent insurgents looking to topple over the American government. I get it, America. We have two Americas. You keep reminding me. I haven't forgotten the last time you reminded me back in June. I still remember, and I definitely remember this. Wednesday, it was surreal. There was a Confederate flag in the People's House, the pillar of democracy. They stormed the gates. A woman was killed. Three other people have, it's been found out that they've died. I think a police officer now, it turns out that he died as well. You know, democracy, it's fragile. And our institutions that uphold it, even their physical nature are fragile. We already knew from the shenanigans of the past 4 years that our institutions were fragile, but even the physicalness, that they could be breached, no longer impressed by, you know, National Treasure and them stealing that map. Jokes aside, you know, this was not an organized militia this time. You know, this wasn't a smart wannabe authoritarian dictator this time. You know, just it felt like the people in the movies, you know, and the people in the movies when they're watching the world almost end and all they can do is just watch, you know, on TV, aghast, hoping that the heroes save the day. Whew, that was close. Terrorism sucks. And, you know, we're still holding our breaths for what's going to come. Inauguration Day, State of the Union, what happens next? It is a lot. So I want to validate that is a lot. I had to excuse myself from work and just cry, scream into a pillow, because the fabric of our foundation, of our reality, was just being destroyed. It's being spat on. You know, this country, it's not perfect, but my ancestors built this for free, died for this country for rights that they did not even fully have. And I've just had this feeling all day, like, you know, when someone breaks into your car or your home, when you're not there, you're not physically harmed, but there's a violation that happened. And that's what I feel like. I feel like I've been violated, because our foundation, our social contract, our agreed upon way of it was violated, jostled around. And it could have been a lot worse. So I'm definitely grateful for that. But I feel there's an ickiness that has just been lingering. So I had to put my own oxygen mask on first as it was happening. I had to just pause on everything and everyone else and just, I had to put pause. I was watching the news and I just had to put pause on everything. And if there's anything that 2020 has shown me, it's that I know how to take care of myself, how to nurture myself. And I know that you do too. So that way we take care of our own individual selves. Then we can get back to being help and healing and of service to those who need us, right? That's how I was. I was like, I need to do this for myself and heal myself, take care of myself, nurture myself, not run away from it, not numb myself, not bury my head in my sand, but get the oxygen flowing, get what I need to live so I can be of service, because this is a call to action for everybody. So what I did is I looked at my circle of concerns, which are all of my worries and my fears, and then I looked at my circle of influence. What do I actually have control over in this moment? There's such power in that, and sometimes it's a lot of the simplest things, but sometimes the simplest things are the biggest things. As you're going to see, I'm going to reveal my list of 10 things that I had in my circle of influence. And you have this in your circle of influence, too. Your list might be different, but here are mine. Write them down. This was my circle of influence for myself, others, my community, of what I could do right now. So number one, drink water. Number two, eat something healthy. Number three, meditate. Number four, get some exercise, take a walk. Number five, reach out to family and friends outside of social media. Get out of that call or text, FaceTime. But honestly, the more intimate, the better, because it's trying to get that human connection. Just really getting some love flowing through the veins. Number six, write down 10 things that you are grateful for. Number seven, remember to breathe. Number eight, take a break from news and social media. Take a break. You can come back to it, but just give yourself a break. Because after a while, they're just kind of reporting on the same thing. Take a break. Number nine, see where you might be moved to safe, restorative action, creating a place. Maybe it might be, you know, creating a safe place at work for people to talk and decompress, because there's a lot that's happening, right? And so seeing if you can maybe facilitate a conversation. I know maybe some of us are working online in the virtual space, but seeing if maybe you can create that space. Maybe it's a space amongst your friends, a virtual space for people to be able to come together. But see if you can maybe... maybe that's an example. I don't know. This is number 9 is just a broad general, see where you might be moved to safe restorative action. And this is an example of maybe creating a safe place for people to talk, maybe doing some sort of group meditation, leading an exercise class, leading a yoga class, leading a prayer, baking treats, doing a Instagram live where you're teaching people how to cook something, delivering care packages to people, donating. If you know people who are actively usually engaged in activism, make sure that they're eating, because this is a lot for them to have to take, you know, see if you can just do little things to support them and their work. Just see if you might be moved to some safe, restorative, rejuvenating action. And number 10, I wrote down, practice mantras that give you strength, security, peace, and love. Write them down, know what they are for yourself, repeat them, repeat them, repeat them. So this was my list to put on my own oxygen mask first. And that's what you have to do, because if you don't do that, you're not going to be of service or help or any good to anybody. And there's a difference between, you know, these things, finding those, you know, circles of influence and those things that are going to be also rejuvenating for not only once you rejuvenate yourself, your cup overfloweth, and you can then start rejuvenating other people. And then you can start being of service to those around you. So self-care, then community care, and focusing on things that are really replenishing and rejuvenating. You know, eat something healthy, right? Probably sleep should probably be on there, but not too much sleep, because then that could be, you know, depressive. And I understand that depression hits in, but, you know, how can we rejuvenate you? That's been just a theme that I had during my holiday break, rejuvenation. So focus on replenishing and rejuvenating, and then proceed to help others in helpful, replenishing, rejuvenating ways, because we need you at your best. I need you at your best. The people around you need you at your best. So whatever this list is, right? Maybe your list is like mine. Maybe it's not. What are the 10 things that are your circle of influence that are rejuvenating, empowering, that are going to help you, help others? Write those down, keep it handy, because, you know, I wish I could tell you that this was it, that you will not have to experience something like this again. I wish I could tell you that this was the last dying gasp of a desperate and fearful group of people. But we know that this didn't start with Donald Trump, and it's not going to end. So we need to be prepared. Be prepared to get really good at quickly, efficiently taking care and nurturing and rejuvenating ourselves, so we can get back into it. Because we already knew there was a long road ahead, but this showed us on different levels to what it was. That it's one thing to sort of imagine it in our heads and maybe think, but to witness it and see it, it's a whole other thing. So we're being called to action, but we can't do that unless our gas tank is full. And nobody said that stamping out tyranny and white supremacy was going to be easy, but we're up for the task, because the future generations are depending on us to do the work. So what are your circles of influence? Spend as much time in your area as your circle of influence as you can, especially if you start to feel the anxiety come up. Cut right over to your circle of influence. Get out of that circle of concern. That doesn't serve you. So let us know on Instagram, Facebook, Corner Kids, holler at us, Twitter. You can even email us, minoritycorner@gmail.com. We're Minority Corner on all the socials, because we can't let the terrorists win, y'all. Can't let the terrorists win. I started to feel that when I just was not wanting to move or do anything. And I said, no, I feel like I was so debilitated through part of 2020. And I just felt refreshed, renewed, rejuvenated coming into 2021. And I said, no, I'm gonna take care of myself and get back into it. Also, I recommend, I just purchased this. I got the audiobook of it and the and I bought the Kindle version. But Timothy Snyder, his book On Tyranny, Rachel Maddow has been talking about this for the longest time. It is knowledge up. It's a tiny little read, less than 2 hour audiobook. I think it's just a couple, like 100 pages. It's a little pocketbook, essentially. Rachel Maddow's been talking about it. Arm ourselves with knowledge. I think we'll be talking about it very soon here on Minority Corner, possibly next week. And I do honestly, at the end of the day, I hope that this is a time when we realize, and when I say we, you know, I mean the other side, Republicans, but I'm trying to be, you know, humble and kumbaya. But I hope that we realize that we've gone too far. And I hope that Republicans have, that this is their come to Jesus moment, that they see the light. And I don't need all of them. We just need some of them. Some of them to steer them off the cliff, because that's where they're heading. And they're trying to take us all down with them. And if they see the light and realize that they have stood by too long, fanned the flames of their for their own personal gain. And I hope that they help to dismantle these destructive systems of tyranny that we have fallen into at their hands and their encouragement. I really do. At least some of them, and some of them are. And yes, it feels like it's, you know, a little too late. Okay, whatever. We can do that once we, you know, take care of this. It's one thing at a time. We can get there after, you know, after we finish this. And I hope that we can get back to reality. Because right now it's really challenging, because with the other side, you can't even find common ground right now, because we're on different planets. And what I call a planet, you're calling a milk dud. So we're even, we are not even using the same terminology and words. So we're really fucked right now. So I'm hoping that this has to be our moment of reckoning. Because I don't know that we're going to get another opportunity. This has to be more than just Donald Trump. It is a looking at the sickness and the plague that has been infecting this nation for centuries. And it's just gotten worse over the last few decades. And we might not get another opportunity to do this. So this has to be a moment of accountability. All of those perpetrators have to be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. Luckily, Donald Trump just recently passed an executive order back in June that he thought he was trying to do towards the Black Lives Matter protesters, that anybody who destroyed public property would be perpetrated against the full extent of the law. Great, good, all of them. We got their faces. Please help, continue to help identify these people so we can get them off the streets, because these are domestic terrorists and they're dangerous. We need to hold each and every politician who helped incite this coup, this insurgency. They all need to be held accountable and removed from office, if need be, stripped of their power. We need to hold them. The media needs to be held accountable for the language that they're using and hold their feet to their fire. They allowed this to continue to get to where it is. Businesses that continue to profit off of this, whether it's they're selling catheters on Fox News, they need to, you know, cut all that shit out. Stop giving this, you know, their money. It's now or never. It's a moment of reckoning. This is for everyone, all of our institutions, all of everybody. Now or never. This is our moment, and I don't know that we'll get another one. So, surprise, work ahead. What, you thought that we were going to go on to 2021 and call it a day? No. This is the moment. Seize the day. Carpe diem. But, luckily, we're coming out of that holiday. Hopefully, I hope that you are feeling rejuvenated and rested so you can roll up your sleeves and get to work. If you didn't, take, you know, some time for yourself so that you can, okay? Take care of you. Take care of those around you. Oh, but before we go, a huge congratulations to Georgia. Y'all, we do now have control of the Senate and the House and the executive branch. God is willing, we have a democracy, but we will. We're going to make sure that we do, and we will have full control. So let's go. Congratulations to everybody who volunteered, text bank, phone bank. You all did this. The John Ossoff team, Warnock team, obviously Stacey Abrams. Give her the keys to the Democratic Party, please. Can she be in charge of all the states? Can we focus on the South now? Plenty of diversity down there. People who have been disenfranchised, like, we need to get down to the South. It's not so much as red as it is unorganized and uninvested. So let's go. So hope to the future. Congratulations. Let's go. And there'll be a full episode next week with Aneke. So more to come, more to unpack on all of this. But I just wanted to check in with all of you all and provide you with some love. We will get through this because we have to. We have no other option but to. The only way out is through. I love you all. Take care. And thank you so much for listening to Minority Corner. And when I say I love you, I mean that so much. I appreciate you all so much. Please take care. And remember, together, we're the majority.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.